Blog Talk Radio.
Some sort of exemptions from service.
and they are always promoting war, you know, beating the drums to go to war, you know, because this is a part of a certain culture's ethos, you know, this aggression to take people, to take things, and, you know, they find nothing wrong with it. So at any rate, the same thing can happen to our soldiers, and, you know, we were talking, we didn't talk last week about it because I promised not to talk about this administration. It's just utterly incomprehensible how we can normalize something that is antithetical to everything that we hold true and dear as Americans. It really is. And we know America has a lot of problems, but this is a problem that we didn't need. We really didn't. You know, we know there was going to be a backlash, you know, but what angers me a lot, and, you know, those that listen to the show, and those that want to join in, by the way, give us a call at 215-383-3872. Again, you're tuned into Marketing Pulpit International, New York edition with yours truly, Dennis Shipman. It's 10:36 a.m., and if you want to join the show, give us a call at 215-383-3872. But what angers me the most, and I talk about this often, is the sheer amount, you know, we already know that, you know, people, you know, Americans, and I hate to say, you know, because we're broad-stroking the entire country, but we are really ignorant. There is no other way to parse it. And I talk frequently about having lived outside the country, not visited for a couple of days, weeks, but I actually lived abroad some years ago when I was still in college. It was relatively old, but at the time, and by old, I mean, you know, older than the typical college kid, but I was doing something else abroad, and, you know, when I completed my task, assignment, however you want to put it, then I decided to remain, and it was a fascinating experience. It really was, and opened my eyes up to, you know, a lot of things that we, amenities, accoutrements of success that we here in the United States take for granted. And when I got back, I promised that I would never or any longer take for granted any of the things that we enjoy here in the United States as Americans. And I haven't. You know, I vote. I'm an active participant, civically engaged in my community. You know, I even talk to my significant other, always boasts about, yeah, Dennis does this and Dennis does that. And, yeah, because I feel that if you know, you cannot complain about the status quo if you're not going to get involved. If you're not part of the solution, you're part of the problem. I know it sounds trite and hackneyed, but it's true nonetheless. If you're not part of the solution, you're part of the problem. And so I'm involved. I'm active. I'm engaged in my community. You know, I have, you know, one young man that wants to get his GED, and I'm trying to help facilitate that. You know, he's a grown man, and unfortunately, you know, in our community, and this goes to the other part of it is that we have a lot of co-opted, compromised Negroes in our community. We really do. You know, I was telling you about the gentleman that was in the barbershop the other day, you know, carrying water for Trump. Lord, forgive me for saying that. Did not mean to invoke the name of Rump, the carnival barker. But at any rate, I don't know if it's sexism. I can't believe it, but, you know, me, I don't know. You know, my girl calls me naive, and perhaps I am, because I just can't believe in this day and age that people are, you know, and maybe it's the social and behavioral scientists in me, that people, forgive me, the mic fell for whatever reason. I have another mic over here that I've had for a while, and we're going to have to transition, because even when I go to commercial, for some reason, the levels on a commercial, you know, vary. I don't know if the listening audience can hear it, but I can certainly hear it on my end. I don't know why, because when I produce these commercials, the levels were fine. So I don't know how they fluctuate when I'm actually replaying them. But be that as it may, this young man, and this is another problem in our community, and by our community, I mean African-American community. Those that don't know, I am African-American. It should be apparent from my intonation. I am black. And, you know, 18 years old, man, I don't know where you're living, where you don't have identification. And then I was talking to someone else who suggested that there might be other reasons that the person doesn't have identification. I don't want to speculate. I really don't, because it's also distressing to me. Because we have too many issues in our community. And, you know, I was listening to another radio show. I'm not really a fan of this particular host. But if you have access, when we talk, anyone that listens to Marketing Pulpit International, New York Edition, knows that I rail about access or lack thereof constantly, because, you know, it's like this crab in a barrel mentality that we have in our community that we just can't. I got mine, so you get yours. I don't have to help you, especially if I don't like you. And where do we... I know it's a digression, but it's just, you know, incredible to me that we feel that we can have this sort of dichotomy in our own community where we're disliking entire segments of our own community. It's incredible to me. You know, for little petty, really insular, provincial reasons, no reason at all. I mean, no rational, what they call in law, you know, and the word escapes me, but we'll come back to it in a second. As a matter of fact, let's take a, I don't know, I thought I had these levels set, but let's take a break and come back on the other side of the break and finish talking.
The Endangered Species Act of 1973 was signed into law by President Richard M. Nixon on December 28, 1973. It was designed to protect critically imperiled species from extinction as a consequence of economic growth and development untempered by adequate concern and conservation. The U.S. Supreme Court found that the plain intent of Congress in enacting the ESA was to halt, reverse the trend towards species extinction, whatever the cause. A species is considered to be endangered if it's in danger of extinction throughout its lifespan or a significant portion of its habitat is threatened, destroyed, or invaded, or if it is likely to become an endangered species within the foreseeable future. Then why are black boys on this list? Black boys are an endangered species. Please go to GoFundMe into our campaign at /PLZ2MO and contribute generously to help us build an alternative school for these boys that will become a national model for educational innovation. Again, go to GoFundMe into our campaign at /PLZ2MO.
Back here in the Marketing Pulpit International, 10:42 a.m., 24 degrees, feels like 15 here in Brooklyn, New York, sunny, winds out of the north, 7 miles an hour, and we're expecting a tremendous snowstorm tonight. So, boys and girls, get your goodies, go shopping, get whatever you need in the event that you're snowed in, you can't get out in the morning, and you'll have adequate food and water, and you prep for an emergency, God forbid, in your house. It's very important, especially in the city. And check on your neighbors. Be neighborly. If you know you have an elderly neighbor nearby that doesn't have someone that visits him or her routinely, please go and knock on the door if you can. Shovel their sidewalk or their stairs. It's just a good thing to do. Beyond making you feel good, it's just the right thing to do. I mean, you know, we're all going to hopefully grow old one day, and we might need someone to come and check on us. So just do it. Go next door and or whatever you have to do to ensure that your neighbors are well, and even the pets. You know, I'm not a great fan of animals living in the house and don't have any, but, you know, the pets feel the cold too, even though my father wouldn't have known it because the dog stayed outside year-round. So we're back talking about this, you know, this young man that I'm tutoring, and unfortunately he didn't have any ID, so he missed the first pretest that we had scheduled for him, because you have to pretest, and then that determines, you know, whether or not you need remediation or an additional tutoring. We're going to set him up for that and then get him on his way. don't know his background, haven't asked it, and really don't care, although maybe I should, because in our community, you know, the one thing that, you know, which is why I emphasize it certainly with my own child, but he's so young and he's just a good little boy, so I'm not so much concerned about him becoming a statistic in the recidivism rate, or, you know, garnering unmerited criminal justice contacts. I know that it is a deliberate campaign by law enforcement to target youth in our community so that they can be sullied with criminal records, and those records don't go anywhere. And you know, I'm thinking strongly about creating an initiative to combat this, because I think it's tremendously unfair. Nakamura and Bloomstein, two researchers, one is at the University of Washington, another's down in University of Maryland, have done a tremendous amount of work on this issue. And the reason I mention it as an aside, and those that listen to Market and Pulpit New York radio show hosted by yours truly, Dennis Shipman, knows that I often go off on these tangents, but I eventually bring us back and get us home. And I think it's tremendously unfair that because they've actually created a methodological tool to show when a person is no longer a threat. So at the juncture, obviously the liver-lilied politicians and policymakers and stakeholders haven't caught on, because they don't want to, especially now. And this is why, you know, I just cry inside, you know, to believe that we've elected this person and this monster who is putting all these conservative right-wing nuts in positions of key positions in this administration, which is trying to, you know, like Beauregard Sessions, trying to turn back the clock on criminal justice reform in this country, because this directly impacts not only your son but your daughters too, because there's been a dramatic uptick in amount of black women going to jail for, you know, look at, we talked about the Sandra Bland case not too long ago. I believe it was in Texas. Excuse me, somebody call and correct me if I'm wrong. 215-383-3872. Again, that number is 215-383-3872, where, you know, she's debating with the police officer, and, a struggle ensues, and she's arrested and found dead a day or two later in her cell, you know, and their response is that she committed suicide, may well have done so, but, and I don't know, but I would assume, you know, because for privacy, you know, especially for female detainees, I would assume that there wouldn't be any cameras, you know, directly in their cells, you know, for obvious privacy reasons. But I can't believe that they didn't have a matron or guard, whatever they call them down there, that was routinely walking past her cell. Yeah, it's just incomprehensible, man, this stuff. This stuff you can't write. You really can't. So, you know, in the case of this young man, I don't know. The point I was trying to make, you know, bringing it back home, is I don't know if he has some sort of criminal justice contacts. He's a nice enough kid. I've had other ones in there that these are, you know, these are grown men, you know, but they're treated by, and this is the point that I wanted to make earlier and tie it all together, but they're treated like boy childs. You know, and this is the problem that we have in our community, you know, whether the father is in the home or not, you know, we infantilize our boys. We really do. Now, and I had a similar, you know, young man about a year and a half, 2 years ago that was coming into the program. Same deal, you know, was living with his mother, his grandfather. His father wasn't around, but his grandfather was active, and I know there was another guy involved because the mother had a child, a girl, by another guy, and that didn't work out. So he was receiving some sort of guidance. the grandfather was very, very angry. It was a classic, in psychology, call it the triangle. It was a classic triangle, you know, where the mother and the grandmother aligned against the grandfather to infantilize the young man. And this is a big kid. The other kid is a big kid, too. You know, I don't know what it is. But these kids are, you know, 6 feet plus, 200 pounds and change, you know, big strapping kids. And they, you know, they're not prepared for anything. I'm not even talking about success. These children aren't prepared for anything. It's absolutely incredible that you could raise a child, you know, whatever his problems were, you know, whatever happened, he got in trouble or not, you know, drops out of school in the 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th grade, and then is just living under your roof, not doing anything. Not because he or, you know, in some rare cases, she doesn't want to do anything. It's because, you know, in a great many of these instances, the parents aren't compelling them to. And then they have to work, so they can't. It's not like they can sit home all day and hold a child's hand. So I have these kids that come to me, and by the time they come to me, you know, it's like an uphill battle because the things that you and I take for granted, like just having identification, I can't remember as a child, as a teenager where I didn't have identification, more or less being 18. 18, I was already out of the house. I really was. I left my aunts, my sister. I was living with one of my older sisters and left and went to my aunt and left there. And I was on my own. By the time I was 19, I was on my own. I was working, doing everything I was supposed to do and still making stupid decisions like most teenagers do. But, you know, I was out on my own. And so, in other words, I had identification, the Social Security card, knew my number. This kid doesn't know anything. I mean, it's completely outrageous that we treat our children like this and then don't expect, you know, because it was a big thing on CNN this morning. I was watching part of it about the Michael Brown case and a lot of facts that came to light that even I didn't know, you know. And this is why you can't assume anything until you know all the facts. And I'm not going to get into it because we don't have time now. As a matter of fact, let's go to commercial, and we'll come back on the other side of the commercial and finish making my point.
Looking for a hit multimedia management company that can manage you, your service, product, or your next multimedia project? Let East New York Management take you, your service, or your product to the next level. At East New York Management, we can produce and post-produce your project into a sleek finished product. We write scripts, slow-mo, blurbs, and spots that are tight, hot, and bumpy. Liners that flow smoothly with wit as well as with verb. We also manage talent, produce, and post-produce shows that are on the cutting edge, reflecting the undeniable influence of hip-hop on popular culture. The most important thing that we can bring to your product is energy, enthusiasm, and a love for the creative process. Look for us on the World Wide Web at www.eastnewyorkmanagement.net. Call us at 347-846-8447 or email us at contact@eastnewyorkmanagement.net. Do not waste another minute with whack, boring, and uncreative multimedia and talent management company. Bring your talent or project to East New York Management. Let East New York Management take you, your service, or your product to the next level.
You're back, tuned into the Marketing Pulpit International. New York edition with yours truly, Dennis D. Shipman. It's 10:53 a.m. Monday, March 13th, 2017. 24 degrees here and winds out of the north at 7 miles an hour. Extremely chilly. Feels like 15. And we're going to have snow later today. We're expecting a tremendous nor'easter, which is, you know, it's wintertime, so it's about time for it. It's only supposed to last a day, so, you know, we'll get through it. At any rate, those that want to join the show, give us a call at 215-383-3872. Again, that number is 215-383-3872. You just heard our promo. You want to see what we do more, go to our website at www.eastnewyorkmanagement.net, www.eastnewyorkmanagement.net or .com. We own both domains, and New York's abbreviated, so if you spell it out, it's a good possibility you won't get to our website, but another. So we were talking about these children. They're not children. They're actually grown men, you know, big, strapping young guys who aren't prepared for anything. And it's really distressing because we're doing a disservice to our community because these kids, you know, they wind up becoming fodder for the criminal justice system and statistics in the recidivism rate, because what do you learn in jail or prison? Little or nothing. You know, one or two persons might, if they offer college programs, and they might get a college degree. But the voc ed or the vocational education programs that they may or may not have in these prisons, they're not working the prisoners to death or employing them in slave labor. That's all it is. You know, especially down south, you would not, those programs, the voc ed programs, in other words, aren't tied to any recognized apprenticeship or journeyman model recognized by the New York United States Department of Labor. In other words, I'm tongue-tied here, forgive me. And that's by design, because they don't want these kids to, they don't want these prisoners to become educated or, to gain a marketable skill, you know, because the prison industrial complex, which is ramping up under Jeffrey Beauregard Sessions, you know, he already rescinded the former attorney general's order to, you know, not employ private prisons, the Bureau of Prisons, opponent of the Justice Department, to house inmates, prisoners. And then he's talking about going after marijuana users, ramping that up. You know, it's already Schedule One. It's ridiculous. You know, half the states already approved it for medicinal purposes, and a quarter of those states are considering deregulating it or decriminalizing it for recreational use. And this is where, you know, you get the hypocrisy between the two major political parties in the United States. You know, when it's a policy that they dislike, that has been proposed or actually implemented by the opposing party, then they cry states' rights. Now, here the states have clearly spoken about marijuana reform, and, you know, quite a number of them came out and said that they are going to, you know, decriminalize it for both medicinal and recreational purposes. And you say, well, Dennis, you were just talking about black boys. How do you get this? Because, you know, a lot of black kids and black adults smoke marijuana. And so they're disproportionately impacted by, top law enforcement officer, a liar. You know, a guy lied in his confirmation here, yet he still has a job. I mean, this stuff is, you can't make this stuff up. It's just incredible to me, the hypocrisy of these people. You know, because all he's going to do is increase, you know, we were already finally, after decades of fighting, you know, criminal justice reform in this country, we're getting down to a reasonable number in terms of our prison population overall. We're not talking about individual states, just overall. New York was first, and at one point during that reign, you know, he ran for three successful terms here in New York. You know, the prison population was burgeoning, almost 70,000. Can you imagine? Anyway, we're going to talk more about this during the coming weeks right here on the Marketing Pulpit International New York edition with yours truly, Dennis Shipp, and have a great week.
Welcome. Welcome.
Yo, what's up, world? We are the good people. We invite you to join us on this musical journey through space and time and the music of my mind. We're out to change the world one song at a time.